also just kind of set that.
I need you to mute it. Radio. I'm going live. Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, October the 27th of 2020. And I'm your host for tonight, as usual, the Miracle Man. And it's going to be a little bit different tonight because I won't be doing a show tomorrow night because I'll be traveling down to Kentucky where my brother is. Bit more that a bit later. But we're so glad that you're with us. That being said, tonight, the games for the weekend will in fact be picked. I have determined what these picks will be for these football games, but I'm not going to say what they are until the time comes to pick them. All right. But like I said, it's so good that you're tuned in wherever you are. Around the world listening from, whether you're from here in America or you're from Honduras or from whatever other country you may be listening from. Because a while back, I remember we had listeners from literally every continent on this globe that has countries on it that has people living in them. Of course, Antarctica is also a continent, but no permanent population. And probably no Blog Talk Radio reception. Probably no phone reception there either. Too much of a remote place for me, I have to say. Too much of a remote place. So I'd rather not be there. And I know it's in the country, but it's not like the southern country. Well, at least there, there's people there that's friendly, like where I'm going for a few days. For those of you who may wonder, what is it that I like so much about down south? The people, for one thing, super friendly. I really like the accents. I've said for years, for about 12 years or so, that my dream girl is from the South, and she has a nice accent and a nice pretty voice to go with it. Another thing I like about down there is it's a bit warmer.
No.
Yeah, some places down there get it. So don't say no. Kentucky gets it. Everyone in Kentucky gets it yearly. So, no snow yet, yes. But over the course of a winter, I'm even happy with a big cut in the amount of snow that we get. And by a big cut, I mean from like 40 inches to like 30 at the most. At the very most, preferably 20 inches and less. And most of Kentucky fits the bill. But I find when I go down there that all the different states I've been to down there, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, they're all different vibes. Really is. They're different vibes. Mind you, in Georgia, really, the main part I went to was just the Atlanta area and up to the north near Chattanooga. And Florida, we flew to. I haven't been to the Carolinas or Mississippi or Arkansas or Louisiana. I have been to Texas, though. But in all different states, to a degree, the accents are different. Even the food can be different and different ones as far as the southern food that they're known for in the particular area of down south. That's another big thing that's one of my favorites about down there is the food, you know, the fried chicken. Of course, this person here, Megan, she tells me she's moderate Megan who hasn't been anywhere.
Love fried chicken, though.
Yep, moderate Megan hasn't been anywhere. She hasn't been south of Ohio, Pennsylvania, or NYC. So even Cincinnati, she hasn't even been as far south quite as Cincy is. And here I am going back down to Kentucky, second time this year, and also for a little bit, to Nashville, home of country music, and also some of my favorite fried chicken, and of course, to Opry Mills Mall, which is a big indoor outlet shopping center. Some people may say, you know, Nashville's a tourist trap. I say it all depends on what you're looking for. It really depends. In my idea, a tourist trap is one where most of the local personality has been lost. And Nashville, though, people say it's changed a lot over the last 25 years. There's still personality to it. And, of course, another city in Tennessee that I spent a lot of time in when I was very little was Chattanooga. But I more so remember the more recent vacation trips that I've been down there, more so like over the last 10, 15 years. And I've been down and, like I said, to Chattanooga. And it's a different vibe. They got the mountains. Even the vibe between there and Nashville is, the difference is kind of astounding. Astounding. It really is. Even in the summer, one feels a bit more humid than the other. And but like I said, I'm ready to see my brother. I know he misses us. It's me, my mom, and dad that are going down there. And it'll feel good to get away for a few days. But come Monday, I'll be back on the air. And swinging, you know, like I you know, like I always do. Yeah, yes, by the way, if you, yes, I do play nice, but just saying, I'll be back to business Monday, but I won't be on tomorrow night, but I will be, like I said, Monday. And then, also about the book, I wanted to remind you to check out the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's about a God that we cannot see, but a God that we totally believe in. And the book is the story of the first 30 years of my life and the different things that I've had to deal with, and how God's been there for us, me and my mom and my family. And it's a great book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com, all one word. Go online to the website there, and you can purchase the book. And it can be a great encouragement for you. And I strongly believe that. And, of course, we're looking to, you know, promote the book. Obviously, I want to tell you about the book, listeners, but I'm not just going to sit here and fundraise for it all show long. It kind of like my pastor says, has told us, he's told us time and time again, I'm not going to change all of our services into fundraisers. How do you think it would be if he did? Would he be like, put $20,000 to the billing program? We'll give you a ride on an airplane. And he'd be spending time during the service mentioning all these different prizes and stuff. Yeah. Is that how anybody would be?
Like walk in and get a free raffle ticket.
It would be so hilarious if he actually did that. Yeah, maybe one service a year, maybe. And he comes up with these. And I could just see him up there doing these voice invitations. I could actually see it.
Yeah.
Even though he says he wouldn't do it, it'd be funny to watch.
Yeah.
I can just see a lot of the people laughing while he's doing it, like through a lot of the service.
Because it's a church or a carnival.
I know, right? I know, right? And you could change all the music. That'd be like fundraiser music, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's all sitting there talking, and he's all saying, I want card number 456283 to come on up here and, you know,
make a donation.
Make your, man, give your offering. But nope. I'm not going to be doing that, but we do want you to avail yourself to the book, and it's a good read, and I really hope that the book can encourage you. Amen. And so the plan, like I said, for the rest of the night is that we're going to sing a couple of songs, after which we're going to open up to the Word of God, and we're going to continue on the series of Joseph, and we'll discuss it, and then also, after that, we are going to make the football predictions for the upcoming weekend, the games that I have determined that I will be picking, along with the nicknames that I give for these teams. So Be ready for that. But I also wanted to remind you, okay, if you want to donate to the Miracle Man Show, you can go online to RibuShukla@gmail.com to donate. Anything you give into the Miracle Man Show will be used to for the ministry. Amen. I should also remind you real quickly that this episode is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go through your local McDonald's drive-thru and grab an any size soft drink for the low price of just $1 a piece all day, every day. Of course, you can get your Coke, Sprite, Tropical Mixed Berry, or if you please come in, you can get a Dr. Pepper. As for the diet sodas, we don't talk about those, because here we want to win. In order to win, you're going to drink soda, and win, you have to drink the regular types. The ones that aren't labeled diet, zero, sugar-free. Because all that sounds fake.
I think they took all the fun stuff out.
Yeah, it all sounds fake. It also sounds like, oh, yeah, the fake news. Speaking of the fake news, I bet you, I'm not going to say all of, but I will say probably a lot of them there at CNN, MSNBC, and the other ones, you know, ABC, the fake news, they all sit there and they'll be drinking their Diet Cokes. Some of them are taking sips of it in between their interviews, as they'll be interviewing their experts rather than actually telling the news. Because remember, that's what a lot of the news has become. Remember that, Megan?
Mm-hmm.
In between their interviews, in between right now, in between them showing their fake polls, they'll just be sitting there and they'll be chugging their, you know, some of them their Diet Coke. Maybe some of them, maybe they're even drinking Tab. And from what I've heard, honestly, I've never had a Tab. Just a few diet ones, but I haven't had one of those even in 10 years, because regular's the way to go, the real deal. All right, but now we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to sing a couple of songs, worship the Lord a bit, and then we are going to, after that, we're going to open up the Word of God. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence, the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, your presence, there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are, for who you are, for what you've done in us, for what you are doing in us, what you're going to do in us. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have tonight to study your word, to learn more about you, to be more like you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're just strengthening us. You're touching our bodies. You're touching our minds. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that every person listening to this broadcast who is in need of a healing right now, whatever it is that they're dealing with in their body right now, regardless of what it is, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you heal that thing right now. whatever it is, and you bring strength to our bodies, strength to our minds, and that you just touch us wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And I just thank you, Master, for your healing power, your wonder working power in us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in our midst. And I just thank you for this time in the Word, that these listeners' hearts would be receptive and that they would hear and understand the Word. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Now I make my confession over this program, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most of all, Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, that in your name, that increases, that many people would come into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's make a Bible confession, listeners, if you want. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. This book is more than a history book to me. This book is more than a storybook to me. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you brought a Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 42. Praise God. Genesis 42. And last night we talked about the dreams that Pharaoh had and Joseph's interpretation of them. We also discussed how God provided for the Egyptians. Tonight, we're going to continue on with Joseph as we deal with chapter 42 and Joseph's brothers going down to Egypt to buy food. And I want to encourage you, listeners, as I often do, whatever I do, you're at my house, you do. I want you to participate. So I read, you follow along, I pray, you pray. If I exhort, you pay attention, take notes, and get out of it what you're supposed to. And what I mean by that is, I mean, what God wants you to have. Because a pastor would say, in the local church, he would say, this is the one time of the service. If you have a good local pastor, he would tell you this once in a while, that this is the one time, and on the show, this is the one time that you can grab something that you can take with you and put it to practice. Because as the case with our show, you know, when we worship, that's for God. When I talk about sports and other events that are going on, it's all good in that, but it's all information, entertainment, etc. And whenever I deal with things, when I deal with things like sickness and disease, and we bind it, that stuff should be gone from you. Shouldn't be something that you take home with you. Or that goes, but this here, this time in the Word, is the time where you can take something to put to use. Amen. Just thought I would exhort you, encourage you in that briefly. As by now you should be to Genesis 42. No, listeners, I am not a robot. I must have just turned really quiet while I was talking to you. Praise God. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there was grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, and the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all of its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger. And he spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Our servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man, who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." And Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you. You are spies. And this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother." The youngest of you will be kept the rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you're not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days. And on the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified and that you may not die." "This," they replied, "this they promised to do." And they said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded for us for his life, but we would not listen. And that's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an account for his brother." And they did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and he began to weep. But then he turned back and he spoke to them again. And he had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's sober back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey. And he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. And they said, "The man who is Lord over the land, he spoke harshly to us, and he treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is Lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men or not. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me so that I will know that you are not spies but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you and you can trade in the land.'" As they were explaining, as they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was this pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin." everything is against me. Then Reuben said to his father, you may put both of my sons to death. I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back. But Jacob said, my son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow. Now we're going to continue on into chapter 43. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all of the grain that they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us a little more food. But Judah said to him, a man warned us solemnly, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. Because the man said to us, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. Israel asked, why did you bring this trouble upon me by telling the man that you had another brother? They replied, the man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living? He asked us. Do you have another brother? We simply answered his questions. And how were we to know that he would say, bring your brother down here? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not relayed, we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if you must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices, and some myrrh, and some picachayo nuts, some pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy for the man so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am raped, I am. So the men took to the gifts, and they took double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. And they hurried down to Egypt. And they presented themselves to Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house. Slaughter an animal and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph told them. And they took the men to Joseph's house. Now, the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. And they thought, "We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. And he wants to attack us. And he wants to overpower us. And he wants to seize us as slaves and take our donkeys." So they went up to Joseph's steward, and they spoke to him at the entrance to the house. "Please, sir," they said, "we came down here the first time to buy food, but at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened up our sacks, and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. And we don't know who put our silver back in our sacks." "And it's all right," he said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver." Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and he provided feed for their donkeys, and they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts that they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground, and he asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed low to pay him honor. As he looked about and saw his brother, Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. And he went into his private room and he wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, and that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest. And they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted, and they drank freely with him. Oh, wow. So you see here what happened is Joseph was testing his brothers. He had to test his brothers to see who they really were. Because earlier in Genesis, Joseph's brothers were not good to him. They threw him in a pit. Then they ripped off his coat. And he had trouble with Captain Potiphar and all those other things. And so now he had to be able to verify who his brothers were. And when they went down to Egypt the first time to buy food, Joseph asked them, who are you? You know, who's your father? You know, and then he asks them, how is your father doing? And then he calls them spies. Even says, oh, you guys are spies, spying on our land. And he thinks that they're basically there trying to collude and that they're like the Russia. But they told him, no, we're here to buy food. And we are, in fact, Jacob's sons. Jacob left Benjamin home because he did not want his son, his youngest son, to be harmed. Then Joseph decides to throw all of his brothers into prison that were with him for 3 days. And then he gets them out and he says, here's the deal. Keep one of the brothers here in prison. The rest of you go home, get your brother, and bring him back to me. And here's food for you folks to take with you. And then the silver ended up being returned to their sacks. And they make that discovery when they stop for the night to rest and to feed their donkeys. Because in that time there was no I-75, there was no hotels, there was no McDonald's to stop at on the way back, Sonic, Chick-fil-A. Crackle barrels, they did not have that. So everybody was on their own. And then, so they get back home to their father, Jacob, and they explain everything to him that had happened. They even explain that their brother, that they thought their brother was harsh. And then they explained also what he said about Benjamin and how we need to take Benjamin with us next time. And then Jacob says, all right. And they finish the food. And then Jacob says, I need you to go back to Egypt to buy some more food because we are now out of food. And I need you to go to Egypt and get some more. And they say, okay. And then he tells them, they tell him, Father, we need to take Benjamin. And he says, all right. And then he tells them a couple of things to take to their brother as gift. And then they get down there, back to their brother Joseph, who's the governor. And they go back down there to buy their food with Benjamin, of course. And then they see Benjamin when Joseph sees Benjamin. He basically decides, you know what? All you brothers, come to my house. You're supposed to eat with me at noon. So, obviously, all the preparations are being made. And Joseph ends up starting to weep. And he has to go find a place to weep. He comes out a bit later, and then he says to the stewardesses, the steward, and to the others, officials, serve the food. And, of course, the brothers are seated by their ages. And the Egyptians are seated away from the Hebrews because, according to Egyptians, they don't like Egyptians being seated with Hebrews, so they had to socially distance them. Mind you, back the maybe there was a coronavirus back then, and it liked to prey on a certain one of the groups, but. No. There wasn't. But the Egyptians didn't like having the Hebrews right by them, so they were seated separately. And the others were grouped by age. And then when the portions were served, Benjamin received 5 times as much as anyone else. So Joseph thought highly of Benjamin. And Joseph did that all to test them. And he had to do that to verify who they were. Because years prior, the brothers, they called him a dreamer and that, but at the same time, they were so mean to him and ripped off his coat, threw him in a pit, tried to burn him alive, and tried to do all these nasty things that you should not do to anyone. But they did those things, and Jacob saw all that. No, he didn't see it all, but I mean, like, then years later, during the famine, that we talked about last night, they're told by their father, go get food. You want to know something? God was with them through all of this. And God was also with Joseph through all of this. He was also with Jacob. And he kept him alive, even as he was starving. And even if he had all the money in the world, there was no DoorDash. No, nothing. They didn't have the grocery store to go to either, to go to the grocery store and then come home and make it. No, they had to go all the way to Egypt to buy the food and then come home and make it. So, as you see here, God was with them. And God's with us no matter what we're dealing with. And it doesn't matter. And you got to have the test in order to have the testimony. So the devil can provide the test. God provides the money. I didn't say money, I said money, because it's the testimony. M-O-N-Y. But, like I said, it was God who put that silver back in those sacks. But at first they were afraid. And they didn't know what to think when they saw the silver. When they made their stop there on the country road. And, of course, they had to be out of the way in case the other fleets of donkeys were there. But, so, like I said, it was God who was with them. And Jacob even gave them the blessing of God the second time they went down there. And then Joseph said, you know, we got to have a party. And then Monday, when I come back, we're going to talk about the cup. But you see something, listeners? Jehovah Jireh is the provider. He makes provisions for us, whether we sort of need them, but we need them badly. Sometimes he does it when we don't necessarily really urgently need them right that minute. But God loves his children. And God wants to bless us. He really does. And I told you last night about how Joseph had all that favor. He had great favor. And we should always say, wherever we go, we have favor with man. Like Jesus, he had favor with God and man. And it wasn't necessarily parking spot favor. When you go to the parking spot at your local Walmart and you go to the local parking lot, it's all full, but there's a spot up close
Or you go to the parking lot of your local major mall around the holidays. And basically most all the parking, most all the desired parking is full, except for a close spot near where you plan to go in to whatever store you wanted or whatever. But I'm talking, you know, real favor. And God wants us to have favor. God will give us favor. We can have favor with God and man. And if you have favor, you'll be treated royally. And I know I like to tease about it and say that I have food favor. Because I'll be in a car with some people, maybe like I've been with people, maybe there was some of us, and other people may have had orders messed up, and mine wasn't. In fact, my fries were nice and hot as they should have been, and nice and full, by the way. Coke didn't have any ice in it, as it shouldn't have. Just giving you examples of the favor of God. I've had other food favors too. Several different times in these big city areas, Nashville, Atlanta, Detroit a couple times, where I either had food, desserts, or drink paid for. We call that blessings. And I don't know why that happened, but it was cool when it did. And one of the times, a couple of the times, my card was just about out. My wallet, like I was in the middle of grabbing it. This one was at an Atlanta Checkers, Lenox Square Mall. The Checkers is now closed, but, and then the lady, she says, it's on the house. And then also, about a year and a half later in Opry Mills Burger King in Nashville, same thing. I end up finding my Blizzard card, and it's a gift card that was given to me for Christmas. And the lady's like, you know what? I got it. I'm like, thank you. And that's just blessings of the Lord. And whenever I mention favor, I just think of these different stories that I've had in my life and all the other different ways that I've been so blessed in my life. So we just got to remember that God is the ultimate provider for us. And God knows what we have need of. Jesus said in Matthew, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink. Do not worry about what you'll wear tomorrow. For God knows what you have need of. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for again for this time in the Word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great provision, that you are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Rapha, the healer. You are the one who gives us whatever it is that we have need of. We have need of. And as we give unto you, and sow seed and sacrifice, you give back to us. And the great favor that we have with you. And I just thank you, Lord God, for this great word tonight. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Sorry about that. All right. Now for some sports. In local Midland area high school football action, you have 6-0 Midland High taking on 2-4 Alpena on Friday night at 7 at Midland Community Stadium. Midland has not played Alpena in many, many, many years. At first, back in the 50s, for a little while, as there are sports scores, Midland High football scores listed on a certain Michigan high school football website, listed back to 1950. And back in the 50s, Midland used to play Alpena yearly in a league that was called the Arrowhead League, that had Handy, Bay City Handy at the time, Midland, Bay City Handy, like I said, Alpena, and I think maybe someone else. Bay City Central, the Saginaw High Schools, the Flint High Schools, the City of Flint ones, they were in the Saginaw Valley League. Midland would later join the Saginaw Valley League. But for the first time in a great many years, Midland will be playing Alpena on Friday night. Alpena, generally not considered a playoff team normally. Not doing great this year either. But Midland is playing a former foe. So, when I made my prediction, Midland versus Alpena, I thought about it, and Midland is quite a better team. So, my prediction, Comic Books 43, Alpine Lodge, 6. I'm going to beat Alpena 43-6. Dow, they take on Saginaw Heritage. They beat Saginaw Heritage soundly back in the regular season. And Heritage is at a disappointing 0-6, including two games that they could not play because of quarantine players. With this in mind, my prediction, Dow Jones Industrial, 39, Longtime Heritage, 7. As a result of this, and based on what happens with the Trevor City in the other game, could be a matchup of Midland Dow Part 2 next week. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. Michigan State, Saturday on Halloween at noon. Michigan played a great game against Minnesota. MSU struggled against the rut of Rutgers as they lost big time. State is looking to improve and seeing what all they have to do in order to get better. Michigan is looking to just keep doing what worked for them last week. With this in mind, my prediction for the Michigan game, winning again, 36, Izzo State, 24. So Michigan will beat Michigan State based on my prediction. By the way, these are not biases. These are honestly who I think will win these games. These are actual. They're not biases. Just so you know. Okay, let's go to the NFL. Three games to pick from. Three games that I will pick. Minnesota Vikings taking on the Green Bay Pack in Green Bay on Sunday. Minnesota at times struggling this year. Green Bay doing what they normally do. They even gave the Lions a hard time earlier on in the regular season. And yes, the Lions still yet have to play the Vikings this year, and they have to play the Bears once, and they have to play the Packers again. So we're not out of the woods. I know, right? Yep. But focusing on this this Packers-Vikings game, I do believe that the Packers will be successful. And yes, by the way, they are playing at the Tundra. I think it's safe to say that Lambeau Field is now the Tundra when you get to November 1st. So, that in mind, my prediction. Go Pack Go, 34. Minnesota, 26. Colts at the Lions. Lions, nice win on Sunday against Atlanta. The refs did give the Lions some problems, though. But they were able to overcome those problems and get a win and end up 3-3. The Colts are decent, similar caliber to the Lions. And so when I look at this one, my prediction is Roaring Lion, 33. Colt McCoy, 26. Last but not least, on Sunday night, later on Sunday, the 49ers travel north to take on the Seattle Seahawks. And though the 49ers have been having a good season, Seattle's also been having a decent season. Keep in mind, though, it is in Seattle, but in the face of Corona, where unfortunately you don't have the stadiums open in full. By the way, NFL, it's time to open up your stadiums all the way. Please Open them up. Please. But Seattle plays San Fran, like I said, in Seattle. And both have very good quarterbacks and very good offensive lines. Give me Seagulls 28, 49ers 21. So for your winners, I have Midland, Dow, Michigan, Lions, Packers, and Seahawks. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our immediate loved ones. For you, Lord God, you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drunk or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no corona. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is on us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I sure love you. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.